What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast.
Hey, thank you for joining us, Houdat Nation. We wanted to jump in. I'm here with James. This is Wesley, and we're wanting to do a quick little Saturday episode. We kind of were talking, and we thought there was some interesting things that really about the team needed to be talked about. James is here with me today. James, how are you doing?
All good. Enjoying my in between Christmas and New Year break.
Yeah, you got a couple weeks off, so glad you're enjoying that. So, you know, kind of what I want to talk about is, really sad that Jason can't be here today. He is working. Jason has talked a lot for years and years, about accountability with the Saints. And I think this year it's reared its ugly head where we've all kind of used the word accountability a lot, whether it's Derek Carr or Dennis Allen or Pete Carmichael, or maybe even Mickey at this point, like who's holding people accountable, and questioning them. And a few things have happened this year where some people have been held accountable, and I'm not sure if it's the right people. And we want to talk about like who's been held accountable and why, and then how they've responded to it. So, two people this year that have been held accountable, and by accountable, I mean, they have lost playing time or been publicly benched in the middle of a game, is Trevor Penning and Alante Taylor. And I don't want to make excuses necessarily for either one of them, but just the simple facts is, Trevor Penning should be playing better. He's a top half of the first round draft pick, or middle of the first round draft pick. He was injured in his rookie season. This is second year, and he hasn't been the cog of being the left tackle of protecting the quarterback that we want him to be. We all talked about that. We thought the success of the offense could ebb and flow with how good Trevor Penning was this year, and we hoped he'd be better. He wasn't good against the run or the pass. And he got benched big time. And like where he even came out where he wasn't even the person reporting as eligible for a while, which is strange for a guy his size and strength. Like you'd think that'd be the perfect role if he couldn't play something better.
He was just in on field goals and extra points. That's all he was going in for.
Yeah, basically stuff you have to have an extra person for. If we're going to keep using the word, Trevor Penning was held accountable for whether it was just performance on the field, regardless of how he got there. And then now this past, in the game against the Rams, Alante Taylor was benched in the middle of a game very publicly. And so I've been hard on Alante Taylor this year. I don't think it's Alante Taylor's fault. I think he was put in a position that wasn't fair to him. One, coming out, he was a super athletic defender, but not necessarily polished and all that. He made up for a lot of his mistakes by just being long and athletic and fast, which can lead to being a good defender. And then this year he was thrown into a brand new position. And honestly, he was maybe thrown into a brand new position like right before the season started, because he was competing for a Debo for the number two cornerback. And then it was kind of like he worked a little bit in the slot, but he was splitting time. And then all of a sudden, right before the season starts, we cut Bradley Roby and name Alante Taylor the starter, which again, I don't think it's putting him in a good position for success. And then now, again, second year player, but first year playing a brand new position that he's never played, that he also didn't work out a lot in the offseason, is being publicly benched in the middle of a game for a, I'm going to, Ugo Amadi is an undrafted player. So, James, are these the two right people that should have been publicly benched and talked about and lost their starting position? I guess Alante Taylor is going to get his back. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but these second-year players playing new positions, or one of them was injured last year, like, are they the right guys to be publicly ridiculed and benched or whatever we're going
to
call it?
So I think that neither player has performed up to the standards that we hoped and needed them to. But you can say that about 20 players on this roster this year, at least 20, you know. So almost half the roster has been disappointed. It is good to see that somebody in the coaching staff is taking accountability for something and almost punishing poor performance But to answer your question, no, it's not the right people. It's not the right people. That, like you said, they're a second year. They're two second year players, aren't they? They're both in the second year. Both drafted in the same year, right?
Yeah. Both of them are rookies last year.
Yeah. So when you've got your $150 million quarterback playing poorly with somebody who backs him up, who can do a job, has tread on the tires when it comes to playing in the league, he's the first person that should have been under the microscope to that level, because he has to be held to a higher standard than two rookies or two second year players.
Yeah. And coaching staff as well. If we're talking about two rookies that most people believed coming into the league had the tools to be successful, from what you saw on tape and when you talked to them and you understood football, whoever talked to them before the draft believed both of these guys would be successful. Neither one seem to be lazy players that won't work hard. So I'm going to guess, without being at practices, that Trevor Pilling is willing to work and be coached. Alante Taylor's willing to work and be coached. So if you drafted players that are capable of playing, then maybe they're not getting the right development to take advantage of the tools that they have. Now, I think that there can be, both things can be true. Like, somebody can be able to sit down and have an interview and talk to you and be willing to work, but just not be able to grasp a concept. I think that's, yeah, that's purely definitely possible. So I don't want to just say that they're not at fault at all. And I agree with you. They have neither one. Both of them deserve to be benched. I'm not saying don't bench them. I'm just saying don't bench them first. even if it's not benching, publicly going, this isn't okay. This person here needs to play better. Or even the person themselves going, this has been my fault. I own this. I'm holding myself accountable. The only way to hold people accountable isn't to bench them. I don't want to say that. I think there's other conversations that could be had with the media and with fans that makes us know that there's at least a culture of accountability, and that people are going to have to do their best and actually perform on the field rather than just want to.
It kind of sets the wrong example. And by that, I mean, there are players who are clearly performing worse than those two players are and were and have done over a longer period. I mean, Trevor Penning had, what, 3.5 games before he got benched at the start of the year?
Penning may have been the worst of the 20 players that you're talking about. I mean, I'm not saying
possibly.
But he also probably, with his experience and youth and his draft, probably should have had a longer leash to try to get better. I don't break down offensive line blocking. Maybe he's the worst offensive lineman in the league, and like, we just had to get him out of there before getting a quarterback hurt. I don't know. But there's other people been bad too.
It was interesting you use the leash analogy, because your rookies should have a slightly longer leash than,
especially your higher drafted rookies. Your first round draft pick.
Second rounder. Yeah, they should have a slightly longer leash. Look, we're not going to bench Derek Carr. It's not going to happen.
Clearly.
I mean, if it was going to happen, it would have happened weeks ago. We're past that point now. But there are other players. Cam Jordan.
He only got benched because of injury. Like, he only lost snaps because of injury, and he hasn't gotten them back. Thank goodness he hasn't gotten them back. And I'm sure they can keep, for respect to Cam, keep saying, well, he's still snap count. He's dealing with this. I mean, I'm fine with keeping that up to have respect for Cam. But he was not good enough this year.
No. He absolutely hasn't been. Ryan Ramczyk's been disappointing this year. He is dealing with an injury, and we know about his knees and things like that. You know, Cesar Ruiz has not had a good season. When, we signed his deal in the offseason, we thought last year, oh, actually, he's turned the corner and he's really kind of pushing on. So it does set the wrong example in the fact that if you have a name or a contract, you seem to be able to get away with poor performance more than if you're a young, cheaper.
It's definitely not the position, because last year, our starting quarterback was held to a different standard than this year's quarterback.
Yes, very much
as far
so.
As losing your position, being publicly ridiculed, and then never playing a snap again. It was very different. Now, the other thing, and I again want to, again, neither one of these players has played well enough, but just to take it full circle too, both of these players, I want to commend them on the way they've handled this fair or unfair benching. Trevor Penning, the first and only interviews we've seen with him since then, he completely owned, I did not play well enough. I need to work more. I need to be better. He didn't say anything about, well, you know, the concepts don't really make sense, or, you know, the quarterback called out the wrong. He didn't do any of that. It was I got to do it. And Alante Taylor, the same thing. Now, I know there was some frustration on the sideline from Alante Taylor, where he went and just sat on the bench. But apparently Tyrann Mathieu and some other players came up and talked to him and got him kind of, you know, up to be standing up and all. But he this week has said, I'll be starting again this next week, but I got benched because of me. I did not have eye discipline. I did not do my job well enough. I have to do better. Didn't say anything about, well, I only had 2 weeks to work on this position, and, you know, our whole defense has been playing terrible. Why am I the scapegoat? He didn't do any of that. And, you know, I wouldn't have to cover people for 6 seconds if our defensive line got any pressure, or maybe if we had a cool blitz package that made a quarterback get rid of the ball. None of that from him, which would have been wrong, but also would have been fair. And then when Dennis, and I just, you know, the other side of it, when Dennis Allen, Derek Carr have been asked by media about their play and them being better, they've kind of had these snide remarks about, oh, there's just so much negativity with the fans and the media, and, you know, we're doing this, and it's, I don't know, kind of more of explaining or just being snarky with their response rather than going, no, I've got to work on me. I need to, like, step away, and, like, I wasn't the right fit as the starter. I've got to get better and be better for this team. It's kind of a weird mix of, again, rather than, Derek Carr might say those words sometimes, but the way he's saying them is like, do you believe that you should be being better and work harder?
They're trying to use the us against the world kind of message to the team, but it came across in such a immature, childish way. And it says quite a lot when your second year rookie or your second year players have the more mature responses than your head coach and a quarterback who's been in the league for 10 years.
Well, Dennis Allen's been trying to avoid questions for a while now after games about Derek Carr, and, you know, programmed responses. It sounds like an AI robot kind of putting. And then the game against the Giants after that, which the Giants are terrible. He starts off his press conference with, well, let me just say that our quarterback played well, because I know you guys aren't going to ask about that. It's like, okay, well, you didn't want to answer when he was playing terrible or through ridiculous interceptions, but, like, it's weird. And again, I just want to commend Penning and Taylor, regardless of if they're ever going to be great starters in this league, they're at least saying the right things that would make you think.
But it's like Dennis Allen was trying to be Sean Payton without Sean Payton's confidence behind the message that he was trying to deliver.
Or attention,
you know,
to detail.
Sean Payton could be petty with the media. You've seen it for years, and he still is, and he still is now. But, you know, on the Alante Taylor thing and you know, and himself, he was really candid in an interview he did this week, I think, with Cat Terrell. I saw some tweets about it. You know, he admitted that the issue in the Rams game started because, and I don't know if you remember the play, Puka Nacua caught a ball and it was given as a catch, but it didn't look like it was a catch. And the Saints didn't even bother to challenge it. And Alante Taylor says that kind of made him mad that they didn't review it. And he said he just kind of checked out. And on the very next play, if Matt Stafford hits Puka Nacua rather than overthrowing him, it's a walk-in 50-yard touchdown or whatever it is. But for me, the big thing was when he says that, you know, he was on the sideline with a towel over his head, really, really kind of not feeling great about it, angry, pissed off.
Let's say he was pouting.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yes, just say that. And he said that Derek Carr came over to him and said that you've got the right to feel however you want to feel. He said, but the important thing is you still need to support your teammates. And I think that is a tiny little bit hypocritical, because we've seen publicly on the field Derek Carr chew out his teammates.
So, I mean, and what, I mean, I guess it would have been more appropriate if Derek Carr would have walked over and go, hey, man, as soon as you made the mistake, before the play was over, if you would have started screaming at one of the safeties and made everybody think it was their fault, you wouldn't be sitting over here right now. You got to have immediate reaction to blame someone else, even if it's clearly your fault. I mean, and then you'd still be in the game. Like, you got to have quicker processing of this. We're sure that's not what Derek Carr said.
Maybe that's what he did tell him and said, you know, in a couple of years' time, you'll have that down to a T. And then when somebody, when you make a mistake, you'll immediately find somebody and blame them for it completely. So, yeah, it just felt a little bit hypocritical to me that that was the message that Derek Carr was delivering. And now I think, you know, you mentioned it, Tyrann Mathieu went over to speak to him and a couple of other players who probably you'd respect a little bit more. They may respect Derek Carr. It doesn't look like they do, to be honest. But Tyrann Mathieu is probably, him, Cam Jordan, and DeMario are the leaders of that defense. You know, they're the three most experienced players. When they talk, you're going to listen.
Yep. So, I mean, I just bringing it full circle, I want to say I'm, I guess, glad that we're attempting to hold some sort of accountability. I'm wondering if we're only doing this because there's been so much publicity about people not being held accountable, and now we're just kind of doing the minimum of, you know, who can we sort of just make an example of so that we don't have to hold the real people accountable. So I think that's interesting, and I don't know. If we're gonna do it, let's be all in on this accountability thing. Maybe some parts of slowing it down is the fact that this organization still thinks they have a shot at winning the division and winning these last two games while Tampa Bay loses the last two games. Maybe after this week, if there's a loss to Tampa Bay, maybe we actually see some people held accountable. We have some honest interviews when we're saying, like, okay, we're not making the playoffs. Let's maybe. So the only thing I could hope is that they're just kind of keeping that a little bit together in case so that the craziness happens the last 2 weeks of the season. Any final thoughts from you, James?
Some accountability is good, but I still don't think it's necessarily being directed in the right way and towards the right people.
Agreed.
So that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can follow us on all socials. That's Instagram, Facebook, and X at Dome Patrol Podcast. You want to participate in game day chat, you can send us a DM on X to get an invitation to the Discord server. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Give each episode a 5-star rating, comment, set up auto download so you can listen to the Dome Patrol podcast anytime, anywhere. The Dome Patrol podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network.